Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. It's Wednesday morning. I'm Sharon Dale, your host for the next hour. This is Animal Central, and today we've got some amazing guests to educate you, to entertain you, and to tell you what's happening in the world of pets. Now, before I get started, there were a couple of things that came across my desk in the last week. I was in Cape Town last week, which was an awesome time, always is in the mother city. I love it. And while I was there, it was so heartwarming to see how many people are out there with their dogs on the beach, walking around, something that you don't always see in Johannesburg. So we really need to consider that our dogs need to get out. They need exercise every single day. And I was actually having a look at something that's just been launched now. It's called the Happy Tails Box. I don't know if anyone's heard about it. It's a new brand that's come in from Germany called Hunters. Now, Hunters is one of those exclusive, the only word I can use to explain it is delicious. The product is soft. It's quality. It's just so exclusive. And I was so excited to hear that it's now been launched in South Africa. So Canine Zone is doing a bit of a deal with them, and we're trying to get as many of these boxes into the country. Well, there's product, obviously the Hunter's product, and then the Happy Tails box. Now, the Happy Tails box is a luxury box that gets delivered to your doorstep every month, and in it are all sorts of goodies for your dog or your cat. So you're going to get treats, toys, you even get shampoo, conditioner, cake of soap for mom, all that sort of thing. Let me tell you, that shampoo is just something that I would probably use, being one of these people that when I run out, I use puppy shampoo on my hair. So if you're interested in having a look at this, go and visit www.embracethehighlife.com. They've got a very special spring edition that's come out now. It's only 299 Rand a month, and it's filled with all sorts of exclusive and limited edition treats for your dog or kitty. Then the other thing that I was made aware of this week is something that I think sounds like a lot of fun. You dance for 40 seconds, and this is going to help to raise awareness for rhinos. So the press release that was sent through to me said, do your 40-second rhino dance and help raise awareness. Now, this is all being done by Rhino Disharmony. They've launched this new campaign for World Rhino Day, which of course is on the 22nd of September. The reason they're saying a 40-second dance is because it takes just 40 seconds for a poacher to hack off a rhino horn, so which is just so sad. And so this new campaign is getting people all over the world to dance. So you go and do your own strange, odd, whatever. I mean, maybe you're a trained dancer, your own rhino dance. You video it. It's a 40-second clip that you need to do. And then you load it onto their Facebook page with a tag Rhino Disharmony. Or you can post directly to the Rhino Disharmony Facebook page. Now, I think this is something that's so important because this campaign aims to create awareness about this horrible, increasing and devastating, these poaching of rhinos. Once you've videoed your dance, and it doesn't matter how good or bad you are at dancing, I'm going to do mine, which should be quite a laugh. The content's then going to be shared across the world to spread the word and stimulate as much international awareness as possible. So again, if you want to go and do your 40-second dance for rhinos, you load it, it's 40 seconds long, you get someone to video you, make it as weird and wacky as you like, make it as stunning as you like, who knows, you could become a star of Facebook. You then load it up on Facebook to Rhino Disharmony, so that's one word, capital R, capital D, Rhino Disharmony, or on Twitter, at Rhino Disharmony. So that is something really cool to do to help our baby rhinos. Now, as I mentioned, I was in Cape Town last week as the guest of Hills. What an amazing event. I was down on the Friday. The Hills had a special guest, Dr. Drew Forrester, who is the Director of Global Scientific Affairs. She came and did a talk about the power of nutrition. And I've been to many, many talks. And I tell you what, this was one of those talks where I was riveted. It was so interesting to hear how food and nutrition can give your pet a longer and better life, a better quality of life. So I've got Dr. Guy Fifey in studio today to talk to us about. Now, Guy, firstly, is the Vet Affairs Manager of Hills Pet Nutrition, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about a couple of conditions, like, for example, arthritis, dementia, and especially obesity, with the obesity month coming up. Dr. Guy, thank you so much for coming in today. Much appreciated.
Pleasure, sir.
And that the presentation was really, I made copious amounts of notes. It made me rethink how I'm feeding my dogs. And quite honestly, just a little anecdote, my dog got ill when I was in Cape Town. When I got back, took her to the vet, she was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. While I was in Cape Town, you recommended I put her on Hill's BD. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, she started the meds and the food yesterday. Firstly, she loves the food. She sat next to that bag for half an hour saying, I want more. But this morning, I didn't realize how lethargic she had become. Mm-hmm. When this morning, after one day, she was bouncing around and wagging tails and all the rest. So food really is so important. Eh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to pick up on Drew's message, food is life, longer life, healthier life.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And also, you know, the thing is that it's also the way that we connect often with our animals.
Right.
So in a positive way and sometimes in a negative way in terms of obesity.
Yes.
So yeah, it is critically important, obviously.
Well, let's focus on obesity. Mm. This is a major, major problem.
Absolutely.
Well, certainly. And Dr. Drew was saying that 50% of animals are obese.
Yeah. So I mean, that certainly is the case. The US, they're talking about 50 to 60%.
Wow.
We're talking about 50% of animals that are seen by vets here are definitely overweight.
Really?
You know, maybe not the whole population, but certainly the ones that are cared for and seen by vets are overweight. And the problem is that we don't perceive them as being overweight often because our perception of what is overweight has changed.
Yes.
So we look at an animal and it's overweight. We go, that's about right.
Whereas, looks healthy.
It looks healthy, yeah. Yes. Whereas when it's at the correct weight, a lot of people will say, well, that's really thin. So our perception of it has changed.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, I myself have seen something like a whippet and I've gone, that dog is so thin.
Absolutely.
But it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's
absolutely
ideal weight.
That's the ideal weight, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
We are used to, I think with all the animal cruelty in that as well, when you see a dog that's maybe thinner,
well,
worry.
Interestingly enough, someone in the UK was head up for cruelty to animals because their pet was so fat.
Oh, really?
So there actually has been a case where it's gone the other way. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It is cruel, isn't
it? Cruel.
It's killing with kindness because you want to feed treats. And,
absolutely.
And it is cruel at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Why is that? Does it shorten their lifespan?
Absolutely. And you know, studies have shown that by overfeeding and being overweight, you actually can shorten their lifespan by up to 2 years.
2 years.
So the study showed that these one set of dogs that were the ideal weight lived till 13 years on average, and those that were overweight, not excessively overweight, to about 11 years.
Why is that? Is it the same as with human beings? So cholesterol increases and it's
Well, cholesterol's not really that much of an issue. It's obesity. What we found out is that your fat is an endocrine organ. It produces a whole lot of mediators that cause inflammation in the body.
Yes.
So the body's in a low-grade level of inflammation the whole time, and that can cause other problems like, as you say, heart disease, arthritis, etc. In that same study, they looked at the two dogs, and the overweight dogs got arthritis around about 6 years of age, whereas the non-overweight dogs, the thin dogs, was only at about 12 years of age.
Goodness.
And a far lesser level.
Yes, yes.
So certainly we know that's the one thing is arthritis. In cats, irritated bladders is another issue. And it's all to do with the fat producing these inflammatory mediators in the body.
Well, at this presentation, Dr. Drew had the slideshow where there were these photographs. I mean, that cat that she first showed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable to see the weight on some of these poor animals.
Absolutely.
And then afterwards, they just become young again
fitter
and happier.
And that's another thing. There have actually been studies that have shown that obesity causes so thin dogs are happier than fat dogs.
Sure.
You know, we always say fat
is happy.
Happier. No, absolutely not. With dogs, they've actually shown that the quality of life decreases dramatically Mm-hmm. Not only because they can't do things, but they also just feel lethargic the whole
yes.
time as well.
Mm. No, absolutely. And I just want to also mention, if anybody has a question for Dr. Guy while he's in studio, you can call us on 0861-555-189. Or you can speak to us via WeChat. Our WeChat ID, of course, is Cliff Central. Dr. Guy, now, I know you at Hills, you've been running this Pet Slimmers competition. I think some of those images were from there. Yeah. These were the animals that went onto your metabolic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just amazing how much difference is made.
Yeah.
How does metabolic work?
So metabolic it's got a blend of ingredients that actually change the metabolism from that of an obese animal to a thin animal. And essentially what that is they become fat burners as opposed to fat storers. So in the animal's body as an overweight animal, basically the body's storing fat. That's what it's designed to do. But when you get slim, it actually burns up fat. So what we do is we actually change the metabolism to make them burn fat quicker. And so, yes, obviously you need lower energy intake, but it helps to lose the weight.
Yes.
And it's dramatic. You know, on that Pet Slimmer program, we are seeing far more animals reaching their halfway targets and also getting to their ideal weights.
Yes.
Yep.
So it's a simple matter of just putting them onto this formula.
Correct.
How long does it take before you start seeing a difference?
So the average weight loss is about anything from 0.5% to 2% of the original body weight per week.
Wow!
So they can drop fairly quickly, but if they're seriously overweight, we still want them to take a longer,
yes.
especially cats to take a bit longer. So anything from a couple of weeks to months. And the good thing about metabolic is you then continue feeding that same food at a slightly higher level.
Okay, as a maintenance,
and that's their maintenance, and that
yes.
keeps their metabolism in check. Yeah.
I know. I was actually, when she was talking about it and when you talk about it, I need to go on metabolic.
Yeah.
Why is there nothing like that for human beings to make life so easy?
It's the Mediterranean diet. I mean, that's
sure.
what it is. Yeah. yeah.
Well, is that what is in the food? Is it
vegetables?
So
it's high levels of antioxidants yes. and specific fats.
Right.
So coconut oil and the high levels of antioxidants and beta carotene actually.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the new product, Metabolic Plus. What is the plus? What is added?
So what
to
we've
it?
Done is we've realized that we were talking about how arthritis affects obese animals, and then cats with bladder issues is often linked to obesity as well.
Okay.
Right. So before, the vets had an issue is like, do we get rid of the weight first and then worry about the hips,
yes.
or, the joints, or do we go the other way around, or what do we do? So now what we've done is combined the full technology of both of them into one diet.
Okay.
So they can lose weight at the same time as we're looking after the joints.
Protecting
in the
their
dog
joints.
And in the cat for the bladder.
Yes. Mm. Okay. And then the other product that she was talking about was obviously the JD, which
yeah,
is now
yeah.
joints. Now
yeah.
that's another thing that affects dogs and cats as they get older.
Absolutely.
Am I right in saying it affects cats as well?
Absolutely. And,
okay.
We don't realize it. We look at cats because they don't show pain.
No.
So we don't tend to see this. And the research shows that about 80% of cats that are over 10 have arthritis.
Oh, really?
They just don't necessarily show us the pain.
Show it.
Yeah, yeah. So any cat that's slowing down, and specifically jumping seems to be a big thing for them.
Yes.
Climbing upstairs and jumping
yes.
for cats is a big indicator that there's an issue.
Okay. And of course, dogs, I suppose the bigger breeds are more predisposed to arthritis?
They all are. Obviously, the common osteoarthritis we're talking about is hip dysplasia and elbow dysplasia. And that's obviously much more common in the larger breeds. But smaller breeds do get it, but they tend not to show the pain as much either because they generally lighter.
Yes, yeah. yes. And I think if you look at it, we were talking about it earlier, people taking their dogs for a walk, tying in with obesity, I think our lifestyles have become so busy and dogs don't have as much exercise as they should have.
Absolutely.
Which would obviously help with weight control and joint function.
Yes, yeah. So from a joint point of view, good general exercise, so not too much jumping and running too excessively. And certainly when they've got arthritis, we want them to walk and swim. Swim is also very good.
Oh, really? Yeah, so when they've got arthritis, they still need to go for a bit of a walk.
Absolutely, because the joint has to move to get the nutrients to flow around in the joint. Mm. It has to move because there's no blood supply to the cartilage.
Now, that's a good question because I've seen people say, my old dog has arthritis, let it sleep on a pillow all day and it shouldn't exercise. Yeah. So that's not true.
No, it's not true. If you can move those. So they certainly don't have to walk, that you can also massage them and do manipulation. And I would suggest, if people want to do that, they need to go to some of the physiotherapy centers and learn how to do it properly.
Yes, like even water therapy.
Water therapy is fantastic.
Wonders.
Yeah.
It does work wonders. Mm. And then the other issue that we discussed was dementia in older dogs. Now that was very interesting to me because you kind of see your dogs go downhill or your cats go downhill, but you can't put your finger on anything and you just assume that it's part of aging. Mm. Is it part of aging? Is it something that can be prevented?
Well, it is part of aging, and it's also very so the research has shown that it's very similar to Alzheimer's in humans. So that is really what it is. It's damage that happens to the brain, and specifically with age, it gets worse and worse. But there is a specific point at which it becomes dementia, as opposed to just aging, and so. I mean, the diet we're talking about is BD, so essentially brain diet, is one of the most researched diets that we have.
Yes.
This research is wonderful. It was obviously done for humans, but used the dog as the model.
Yes.
And
saw how well it worked on the dog.
Absolutely, yeah. So we got the benefit from that.
Yes.
And essentially what it is very high antioxidants again, specific fats. And other things that help the brain to function, but also reduce the damage.
Okay, because I was very interested because when you started talking about the symptoms of dementia, I was kind of going, yes. I mean,
for yourself or your dog?
No. Sometimes myself too. I must admit, this last week I felt like the onset of dementia. You run around trying to get ads in. Yeah. But disorientation.
Yeah. So the symptoms we talk about is DISH, the acronym DISH. So disorientation, dogs that will go walking round and round the house or go outside and get lost. They go to places where they never used to go, and they just wander. The second one is interaction changes. So either they become very attached to you or they become distant. They don't come and look for attention. That's quite a common thing.
Yes.
And then the sleep-wake pattern changes. So they stay awake when they're supposed to be sleeping, and that's generally an issue because they walk around at night and they tend to just pace. That can be an issue for people.
Yes.
And then house training is forgotten. So essentially they know that they're supposed to go outside, but they'll do it inside.
Yes. Yep. I mean, when you were going through that, I was Deeza of late hasn't been as affectionate.
Yeah.
She's
been
very aloof, if you want to put it that
way. And that's what people say. It's an old dog. It doesn't want to come and greet me. It's just old.
Exactly.
It doesn't want to come and walk and say hi. And that's often an indication.
So does that progress?
Yes, it does. It progresses fairly slowly, just as it does in humans. And then at some point, it's very quick.
And then what happens?
Well, then you basically get to a point of death,
as
you would with Alzheimer's. I mean, point the brain stops functioning,
stops working.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Yeah. And age of onset, you say, can it vary?
Yeah, it does vary, certainly. And we do know that certain things help them. So if they've been having a good diet with high antioxidants and so on, all their lives, they're probably less likely to get it. And if they're active. And that's the other thing. Certainly with humans, that also is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping your brain active.
Yes.
Even just doing crossword puzzles, people that are tired should be doing keeping something
keeping
that keeps
their
them,
mind active. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
And that really is very important to keep your dog active as well.
And Dr. Guy, is it not breed specific? Is it across
the
breeds?
No, it's across the breeds. Certain dogs have better brains than others. Some dogs live longer than others, so certainly they're more likely to get the issue.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're seeing your dog with these symptoms, you should get it to the vet.
You should get it to the vet,
change its diet.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, there is only BD is the one diet that, and you know, the change is incredible. You heard my story.
In one day, yeah, I saw a change.
it's amazing, yeah. Yeah, you know, it sometimes takes a little bit longer than that, 2-3 weeks, but the change is incredible. You know, I've seen it now in a little Jack Russell stray that came, we took into our house, and she was just walking around, not knowing where she was, that kind of thing, licking the floor, doing all sorts of strange things like that. And we put her onto BD, and she's a completely different dog.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, well, I know with mine, I'm not sure if it was the diet in a day or the hyperthyroidism medication, but as I say,
I will see a difference. Yeah,
gobsmacked this morning to see she actually came to me and wanted to be affectionate. And you get so used to it because it's such a slow progression.
Exactly.
That you get used to it. Yeah. It's not like an overnight shock thing. Let me get my dog to a vet, which is the danger. Mm. So aside from diet, is there any other treatment if your dog's suffering from dementia?
Dementia, there are some medications that change the way the blood flows in the brain.
Okay.
So there are other options as well. I don't know too much about them.
Yes. Mm. Now, I want to just ask you about Hills as such. Now, Hills has been around for a long time.
Yep.
Weren't you voted, is it the top dog food brand?
We're the most trusted dog food brand,
right?
By Reader's Digest in South Africa for the last 3 years. Well, that category's only been for the last 3 years.
Okay.
So it's quite a feather in our cap being a smallish company.
Yes.
You know, we're not out there in the public.
Because you're such. a veterinary brand.
We're a veterinary brand,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we're very proud of ourselves. I mean, I think it's great to be trusted. We have been around for 70-odd years.
Wow.
And our founder, he started the idea of clinical nutrition, so using nutrition to control a disease with the original diet for kidney disease.
Okay.
And that was a very, very long time ago.
Gosh, now that's another product, isn't it? That you've got specifically for kidney.
So we have for kidney disease. KD is specifically for kidney disease. We have diets for dental disease, liver disease. I'm trying to think of all the things, but you know, obviously skin conditions.
Yes.
So we have a whole range of diets.
Right.
Specifically prescription diets.
And this, the Hills Pet Slimmer competition,
yes,
I mean, that everybody knows about.
Yeah.
I mean, Hills is one of Canine Zone magazine's main sponsors. Yeah. And in our next issue, we're doing an article about the competition and showing you a couple of the before and afters, which are, I mean, you can't believe it's the same dog.
It's incredible,
there was a picture of a Rottweiler that was so bloated. He reminded me of a large tick.
Tick, yeah, absolutely.
He was so big. And then afterwards, this little, and a pug that was literally just a blob, Jabba the Hutt,
Jabba the Hutt,
with
absolutely.
A little face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tell us about the Slimmers competition. How does it work?
So the Slimmer competition started, 16, 17 years ago, when we realized that our vets were a bit wary of talking to people about because
it's a touchy subject.
It's a touchy subject, and this pet is your child.
Yes.
So you're essentially telling people their child's fat.
Right.
Which is a little touchy.
Yes.
So this was sort of a fun way to bring in that aspect of you know, how do we talk about it?
Yes.
And so it basically developed from there. It's obviously grown quite dramatically, and the website that you can go on that runs the program.
Yes.
It's more about losing the weight than the competition itself. The competition is still there to bring awareness,
sure,
obviously.
Sure.
So it's really cool to see some of and more importantly, the change in the lives of everybody.
Mm.
You know, people. So it's transformed people's lives because they've gone from being, you know, this animal that was just difficult and bad skin and couldn't walk, etc., to being part of the family again, being happy and
active.
And so, active.
What is the website, Dr.
Gunn? Petslimmer.com, I think.
Petslimmer.com. Okay, fantastic. And can you still enter? Is it ongoing?
It's ongoing. So certainly, you know, whenever anybody starts, they will go onto that, and you can go onto that site and see the progress of your animal. You input pictures. You can do all sorts of stuff on there, which is pretty
fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. And it's motivating. That's the other thing.
Is
to keep people motivated. Yeah, we talk about you know, these programs where you would come in and everybody can talk about their experiences and so on. So on there, it also motivates you to look, and you can see the chart of the weight loss and other people's experiences as well.
There should be a link to weigh less or something
I didn't want to
so
say
that
the word
human
because
can
yeah,
also
absolutely. So that's the
lose
idea.
Lose weight with your dog.
Dog.
Absolutely.
There's been a study on that too, where people who lost weight with their pets.
Yes.
Actually kept the weight off for longer as well. So
really?
Losing weight with your pet is good because you're both exercising. It's good.
No, and there's no better exercise.
No,
there
absolutely.
Is no better exercise than going for a walk with your dog.
Sure.
Because it doesn't feel like exercise.
No, exactly.
You're out there with your best friend, you know.
And that's the point that we try and get across as well, is that you know, if the dog's just been sitting there all day, walking from the bottom of the garden up to the top is exercise.
Yes, it's something.
If they have to walk up the stairs instead of you picking them up and carrying them, that's exercise.
That's exercise. Yeah.
And that's the way to get cats to exercise. I mean, you know, how do you get a cat to exercise? Well, you've got to play with toys.
Yes.
Otherwise, you've got to hide their food and they must go and find it. They've got to do something that keeps them
moving.
Yes,
keeps the mind and the body active.
Yeah.
No, absolutely, because so many people, you know, have their dogs. Look, life is so busy. People are at work and their dogs are in the back garden. I always feel so sad when you walk through the suburbs and you see these poor, frustrated dogs. Because exercise also keeps it tires them out, so they're less likely to be destructive.
Absolutely.
Boredom leads to destructive behavior, and it'll keep them body and mind healthier.
And that's the other thing again with the so that's when we're talking about keeping the mind active for older pets, as well as taking them for a walk. You know, they can smell things.
Yes.
All that, it's like reading the newspaper for them. You know, they walk up the road and they can know that, you know, who's been here, who's done what, and it keeps them active as well.
Keeps
so that's the only
active.
Way to really, you know, keep them active. That and keep training, you know, keep working on the sit and those kind of things.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you a question that was just asked.
Mm-hmm.
How often should you feed your dog? Should you feed them a big meal at night?
Mm-hmm.
Two smaller? How, you know, a lot of people work, so they're not at home in the day.
Yeah.
What's the best?
So for puppies, certainly 3 to 4 times a day, until they get to about 6 months, and then you can kick over to about twice a day.
Okay.
And then we recommend carrying on with twice a day. And I would suggest one slightly bigger meal, one slightly smaller meal. If you want them to be awake at night, you give them the smaller meal.
Okay.
If you want, and the other way around, if you want them
to sleep tight.
Yes.
You give them the smaller meal in the day.
That's right. So the bigger meal will make them more likely to sleep.
Because there are risks, isn't there, of feeding one huge meal at night?
Things like
stomach torsion.
Yeah, certainly that can be. What we do know is that, you know, it's obviously not a problem to feed them once a day.
Mm.
They're designed to be able to handle that.
All right.
But we do find that the glucose curve, so the way they take in the food, is better if they get two meals.
If they get two meals.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it's just amazing to hear. You know, certainly in the old days, people would throw a bowl of food down and that would be it. But it's just so incredible to see all the research that's been done. I've got a quick question before I let you go from Suzette Amos. She's saying, my 5-year-old Cocker Spaniel needs to lose at least 3 kilograms.
Right.
How do I work out the amount of meat and rice to give her, added with half portion of dried dog food recommended? Can't take her off her chicken. It just wouldn't be fair. She weighs currently 17 kilograms.
Okay. How do you work it out? You need to go to your vet and they will give you an idea of how many calories you should be giving.
Yes.
And then you'll need to work it back from there.
Okay.
Making up a diet is, in theory, a dietitian should be doing that.
Yes.
I legally can't do that. That would have to be an animal nutritionist.
Because I suppose there's nothing wrong with putting in a good dog food, putting a few bits of chicken or something like that.
Does it affect
the balance?
It does affect the balance.
Okay.
But certainly, if you did something like if you use metabolic and you treat it with a couple of pieces of chicken, you'd be fine. The point about the diet is that the metabolic is designed for weight loss. So in other words, the protein levels, etc., are linked to the energy levels.
Yes, they're finely balanced.
Yeah, it's finely balanced. So it could be your issue is that you're giving too much protein or too little protein when you cut the amount of food you're giving.
Okay, and then it affects. Because that's an excellent question, because I too have always felt, just to put down the granules, let's call it cubes, kibble.
Kibble, yeah.
I always feel like I have to add something to it, a gravy something.
It's a mindset, yeah. So, I mean.
But you don't need to.
No,
it's all in there.
Absolutely.
So it's just humans thinking that
that's
they
right.
need. Then I got another quick question. Sorry to interrupt you. don't know what she... Darren from PE says, mm-hmm. I have a dog who's had skin issues for several years. Mm-hmm. I tried absolutely everything from oil, shampoos, changing diets, etc. My next option was tablets, which I really did not want to do. Mm-hmm. I decided to try her on Hills, mm-hmm. and it showed amazing results instantly. She no longer has eczema, and her coat has grown much longer and softer. Who could I contact to show before and after photos?
All right, I think they can go through their vet. And the vet will put them in contact with our territory manager there.
Oh, fantastic.
In that area. Yeah, that would be great. That would be lovely.
Now, I know because you had a Burbul puppy at the event. And I've never felt such a soft coat before in my life.
Yeah,
I mean, it really was the most amazing dog. Mm. Any other advice before I let you go, Dr. Hills?
Well, I think...
Dr. Hills. I just called you Dr. Hills.
I wish.
Dr. Fivey.
I think the thing to remember is that don't overfeed. You can treat, but make sure it's within the amount that you should be feeding.
Yes.
Food is life, so feeding good quality, well balanced food is very important for long term life.
Right.
And health. Yep.
Okay. And then again, your websites?
Hillspet.co.za. Yes.
Hillspet.co.za.
And from there, you'll get links to anywhere else.
Yep. Fantastic. So there's a great message. Let's start the spring by making sure your dog has good nutrition and is healthy and fit, not obese. And get out there, get on the website. And if your dog is overweight, why don't you join the Hill Slimmer competition? All right. We'll be back after this. And we've got some amazing guests on air to talk about an event that is coming up.
Sir Richard Branson had a game-changing idea. He made it happen. You have a game-changing idea, and now Sir Richard wants to discuss it with you aboard the Virgin Atlantic 787 Dreamliner. Presenting Dreamtrepreneur. Email dream@cliffcentral.com with your one-minute video or audio recorded business plan. If our panel of judges think it's a game-changer, you'll be one of 10 to attend a course at the Joburg Branson Center of Entrepreneurship. Then, two final winners will take home 40,000 Rand in cash, 140,000 Rand's digital marketing package, 1 week in London attending Global Entrepreneurship Week, and time with Sir Richard Branson aboard the Virgin Atlantic 787 Dreamliner. An idea is only ever an idea until you make it happen. T's and C's apply. Go to cliffcentral.com for more info. Are you South Africa's next dreamtrepreneur?
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
I absolutely love that song. Sia has to be one of my most favorite artists in the entire world. And what an interesting chat with Dr. Guy Fifey from Hills. Now we're moving on to something a little bit different. We've got Beverly Schelling in studio from Ride for a Reason. We've also got Stuart Baker from Suzuki, and we've got a very special guest in studio today. We've got Cora Bailey from Claw. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming in today. Beverly, I'm going to start with you. Tell us about Ride for a Reason.
Hi there. Okay, Ride for a Reason is a support charity whereby we support Claw and Fora, the animal shelter. So what we do is various fundraising events using people like Suzuki, and that is we do the fundraisers, and then all funds generated from Ride for a Reason will be donated to Claw and Fora, whether it's in the form of food or it's in the form of money.
Yes.
Money, we donate everything to them.
Oh, fantastic.
So as you know, South Africa is one big charity case, especially the animal welfare, and where we can sterilize an animal,
yes,
it's so well worthwhile.
So absolutely. Any there's funding such a that, need.
That's there's it. So such there's a huge for fund for it. And as I say, Suzuki's great. They've come on board. As usual, I get to abuse them quite often with our fundraisers, sometimes on their motorcycle side, sometimes motorcycles and cars. And they've come ahead with on board with this for cars and bikes, where we're going to build a big logo in a field. And fill it, we're aiming for about 1,700 vehicles.
Wow.
So that'll be a good day, a fun family day out. We've got beer tents and live music and a country market. And then the thing to keep people entertained is to get their vehicles into the
Okay, so anybody can come with their vehicle?
Anybody can come
so
through and join
have
us
to be
on
a
the
Suzuki.
Day. No, we're going to put Suzuki's into the logo. So Suzuki's will fill the logo, mix of cars and bikes, but anybody is welcome on the day. It's going to be lots of fun and a family day.
Yes.
There'll be kiddies areas. But the main thing is to get all the Suzukis into the logo.
Right.
So that would be a nice thing if we could get that done.
That's going to be fantastic. Because you know what I love is there's so many events happening, especially this time of the year. And I've seen that the events are getting more and more interesting. You know, in the past, it would kind of be a, you know, a little flea market type event. But lately, you know, there's Mutter's Day, which is so much fun, which is the waterworks. And now your event. It gets people to get out there. They have an absolute hoot. And at the same time, they're helping animals.
That's the main thing, is the helping animals. So
yes.
To get out, have an absolute family fun day, bring the whole family out. I'm not too sure at this stage if you should bring your animals with. We will certainly have some of the animals up for adoption, either on leash, or we'll have some pups in a pen there for people to have a look at. And if they're keen, they can then kind of fill in their adoption forms, and we'll have a look at adopting the dog. So I think the odd person could bring their well-behaved dog on a lead.
Right.
But yeah, we don't need too many dogs on the
day. No, sure. Not with so many vehicles driving around.
Yeah,
it is a safety issue.
Around, yes.
And Stuart, how did they convince you to do this? Are you an animal lover? Did you see the need? How did it come about that Suzuki got involved?
It originally started with Bev forcing me into the first little charity event, which
with
was
your
quite
hand
a lot of
behind
fun.
Your back.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, it was a heck of a lot of fun. I am somewhat of an animal lover with a house almost like a zoo.
Yes.
Anything to do with motorcycles, to go out and ride with the guys and raise funds for something, a good charity, makes perfect sense. For this particular event, we roped in our car colleagues. Simply because we want the volumes.
Sure.
You know, it'll be fun to set the record for Suzuki's point of view. The first and foremost, it's a charity day to raise funds for the charity.
Mm.
And
yes.
If we happen to park everybody in the logo, that's just going to be twice
that's
as much
gonna
fun.
That's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Because you guys have always been involved. You said it's not the first time. What else have you done?
We've done two runs, I think, so far. We did a blanket run, and then we did a mass ride that started out as 15 of our closest friends and turned into, I don't even know, a couple of hundred of our closest friends, which worked very nicely. It's all Bev's fault. It's her brainchild, and she comes up with these fantastic ideas for us to get involved in. But it's just great to give back to something and still use our product.
Yes, because I think animals often are forgotten. You know, there's a lot of fundraising going on for other areas, but many times animals are forgotten. These are the creatures that can't ask for help. We need to be their voice. So it's so amazing to see a wonderful large company like Suzuki getting into this and helping out here.
Well, it's also the concept that Claw have in trying to prevent more and more puppies and kittens and that sort of stuff coming out. Makes a heck of a lot more sense than continually rehoming. So I like that aspect of it.
Yes.
So the motorcycle division is completely committed into it. And yeah, as I say, I kind of roped the car chaps in as well. So they're gung-ho now. And we're going to have all of the car dealers and motorcycle dealers from sort of Greater Gauteng.
Yes.
We'll be contacting their customers and bringing them along as well to help build the logo and to come along and support the day.
No, because bikers especially are very proactive. I'm trying to think now. There's a TV show on DSTV about this group of bikers. They look as scary as all hell. But they go out there. Do you know the name of it, Beverly?
No, I'm not sure, but the bikers are scary
people. They go out there and they rescue these animals. Obviously, it's based in the United States. And they go out there and these guys are tough. You don't argue with them. And they go out there and help these animals. And I've always seen, you know, these rides and these fundraisers, and they really get behind things. They got a lot of passion.
Yeah, I think we're spilling that over to the auto guys as well now that we're all one big happy family. My marine department was grumpy yesterday because we haven't figured out how to put them in the field with us, but we're working on it. But it's great. The Suzuki family is now very strong, and we're all under one umbrella, which helps for the brand. And I think it's time that we got involved in the community. So here we go.
Absolutely.
So let's get 2,000 vehicles there. Right at the park.
How many? 2,000?
If we can get 2,000 Suzuki-branded vehicles, then we hope to get a whole bunch of other people, which will convert to Suzuki, obviously, it being the better brand. then, you know, we can increase everything. But if we can get 2,000 into the logo, that'll be absolutely brilliant for us. Yeah. And
like,
fantastic
come on,
for the
animal
charity.
Animal centralers with Suzuki.
That's it. R100 a vehicle. So if you can put 15 people into your vehicle, it's still R100. If you put 8 people on your bike, Still 100 rand. I'm not sure Metro would be happy, but, you know, it's 100 rand.
Don't some of the Metro cops ride Suzuki? I think they do.
Quite a lot of them do.
Get them there too.
Yeah, we're slowly but surely getting involved in all facets of it. We do have approval from all of the correct bodies. Yes. Bev works very hard to make sure that everything is legal and above board for these things.
Sure.
But yeah, please come along. 100 rand a vehicle is nothing.
That's nothing for a fun day out. And it just really gladdens my heart, because often I sit here and I have guests from the various shelters, and the common thing is how much good they do. I mean, these people don't get government funding, and they try their very, very best. And it always, you know, I think, why don't the large corporates get involved? Why don't they help the big pharmaceuticals, the food brands? They really need to give back. So that's why to see Suzuki come in and do this, you get the Animal Central salute for that. I tell
they
you what, Stuart.
Absolute, absolute champions. They are helping towards, we'll put Cora on in a moment,
yes,
a huge project that Claw is about to undertake. And I think it's going to be absolutely brilliant. And the money from this, if we can pull
it's
this
really
together, is going to change a lot of things.
Well,
make a lot
I
of lives
easier.
Well, now I
do want to bring Cora in. Cora, you are well known countrywide for being one of the absolute animal angels. It's an honor to have you here today, Cora. Won't you just tell us a little bit about Claw? What is it that you do? What your plans are, as Beverly was saying?
Okay. Claw was founded in the early 1990s in response to a huge need for animal welfare in disadvantaged areas. We have, in our townships, we don't have private vets. We have huge, huge amounts of people in our city that don't have access to vital vet services.
Right.
And that is the need that Claw fulfills in as many areas as possible. We do a mobile service. We do that 5 days a week. We also have a clinic in Durban Deep, which is on the border of Bram Fisherville and Roodepoort. And that clinic services up to 1,000 animals per month. Most of those are animals, people walk with their animals. It's easy access for various places. Mm. And for the rest, we take our service to the communities. We also have a clinic at the moment at the forest shelter. That clinic, it's where we do all our spaying and neutering, because we haven't got electricity or water at our other clinic, haven't had for more than a year.
Goodness.
So we provide a very, very vital service.
Yes.
We also do a weekend program with the children from the Durban Deep and Bram Fisherville area who come to us and learn about animal care. And just also have a carefree day where we give them a meal. So we're involved in, we're a very grassroots organization.
Yes, yes. But you're helping the community and the animals at the same time and educating.
Yes. You know, there's a huge love for animals, and it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, you know, dogs and cats have been companion animals for thousands and thousands of years. And it's hugely tragic if you have a dog or a cat that you love and it gets ill and you can't
afford it.
You can't take it anywhere. You can't put it in a taxi. There's no vet down the end of your street. And even if there was, in many cases, it's unaffordable.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, we feel that we do provide a very, very vital service, and especially when it comes also to preventative medicine, where we do vaccinations, we do deworming, all the primary healthcare stuff.
Yes.
And empower people by giving them information on how to take care of their pets. And then, of course, there's the spaying and neutering, because no community can afford all the unwanted litters that are born.
And that's part of the problem, isn't it, is that there's education, a lack of education about spaying and neutering. And then, as you said, that people can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not sure. I think these days it costs about $1,500 at a private vet to get your pet spayed or neutered.
Yes, it's very unaffordable, especially the communities we work in. We are mostly in informal settlements. Some of those places have thousands and thousands of residents, and there are animals, and there are also, you know, a lot of trauma cases. Mm. Animals hit by cars. We
yes.
do. We have an emergency number, which is on our vaccination certificates. So we do dozens of emergency cases every day. And there are, of course, issues which, you know, for example, there's a lot of poisoning of animals, accidental poisoning.
Oh, accidental.
Yes, people buy an illegal poison, which is sold illegally in small packets, basically for rat control.
Yes.
And animals are poisoned too. So many, many animals die a horrible death, especially if there's no help for them.
Yes.
So we,
yes.
we provide that service where we pick up, we respond as soon as we can and do emergency treatments.
I mean, Cora, that is just, I mean, there's such a need. There is such a need out there. Mm. And as you say, the accidents, I often head out on this Krugersdorp Highway, which runs around the back of Dipsluit, and the amount of bodies that you see on the side of the road, it's just heartbreaking. It really, really is.
Well, there are issues where people don't have fencing.
No, exactly.
And have a dog. So very often, as a result of that, dogs are cruelly chained in an attempt to keep them safe from the streets and
right.
safe from accidental poisoning. So we do teach people how to do a more humane tethering,
yes, more
of their dogs,
run or something like
and
that.
Make sure that they take them for exercise at least 3 times a day. But it is an overwhelming amount of work.
Yes, yes. And you're very right. I had Jerry Salwani from Soweto Animal Rescue in here a few weeks ago, and he's got what he calls the Jerry's Rangers, which are the young kids that he brings in, and he teaches them to take care of their dogs. And isn't that the key, Cora, to educate the youth, because then that filters through to the rest of the family and the community?
Well, educate and empower. If you're educating, you're empowering people.
Right.
So, yes, the children, very often the children, especially the kids that we see on a weekend, come from less than ideal backgrounds, very often absent fathers, no role models.
Mm.
Those children now, the older ones that sort of graduated have become volunteers.
Wonderful.
And information on animal cruelty and issues which can be rectified come from them.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, it is about empowering the community, and education does that.
Right. And I think one can see so many changes. I was speaking to somebody the other day, well, from the SPCA Cape of Good Hope, and I was saying to her, is there a difference being made? Because so many more people are aware these days. So many more people. The social media has really got the word out and spread the word out there. And celebrities like Ricky Gervais and all these people that get involved. And I said, are you seeing a difference? And she said, slightly. More people are standing up for it, against animal cruelty. More people are educated. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, Cora, it must be heartbreaking to see all of this. But then on the flip side, isn't it wonderful to see when these dogs are well taken care of or get adopted into wonderful homes? So there's the bad side and the very good side.
Well, I'm going to say here that we have seen a huge difference.
Have you really?
The very fact that we could go out to an area to do a mobile clinic and we could have up to 300 people queuing
yes.
for services. Now, there's maybe people that have walked a long way, people with animals in their wheelbarrows.
Goodness me, just to get the animal there.
Yes, and if that doesn't show love for animals.
Absolutely.
And an improvement. Everybody wants, people do want the best for their animals.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we have seen a difference. We get cases of cruelty reported. Mm. We get people who, you know, we, for example, have a long, long list of people who are waiting to have their animals spayed.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, if that isn't
That's
good.
Fantastic. Mm. And I think with the whole adopt and, you know, the words gone out against about puppy mills, don't go there. People are being educated about that. Don't support a pet store that sells puppies because 100% guaranteed they come from puppy mills. So I think all of that, Cora, is definitely making a difference. It's sinking in somewhere.
Of course it does.
And unfortunately, like my house looked like a puppy mill this morning.
Really? How many have you got, Beth?
There was a litter of how many? 8 orphans were bottle reared.
Yeah, we fetched these pups all the way from Sharpeville. We got a call from Sharpeville. It's not an area we work in. It's out of our area, really, but someone had heard about us. And their dog had been poisoned, and she had died, and she had these 8 pups. So we collected them.
So you've
them.
Got them now, Bev?
They were bottle reared by other people. Yes. We divided them into 4 little lots of 2.
Oh.
And all these wonderful hand-rearing mommies.
Yes, these foster mommies.
They've returned them to me now to be home. My house is a bit overrun with pups.
So now, well, the funds that's going to be raised here, is this going 100%? Is going to Claw and Fora?
Yes, Fora will probably do a donation in the food, probably, you know, the shelter always needs food.
Right.
With Claw, our aim is to redo the Durban Deep Clinic off the grid. We're going to try and do it without electricity and obviously supply of municipal water so that we can get back to Claw doing 100 to 150 sterilizations a week, if possible.
Now, I just have to ask you quickly, we've spoken all about this and we're nearly at the end of our time. When and where does this event take place?
It is on the 25th of October at a place called The Wedge out in Muldersdrift. It's on Bayers Nordia Drive. The Wedge is also sponsoring the venue for us free of charge so that all donations can get sent to Claw. So the 25th of October, there is a website, www.rideforareason.co.za, and the tickets will be online for purchase online. So it's the Suzuki Family Fun Day, I think we've labelled it as. And
all right.
As I said, 25th of October at the
Wedge
in Boulder.
Fantastic, and I'm sure we'll be there. Canine Zone Magazine, take some pictures. We'll put it up on Facebook and we'll put it in one of our next issues. But I really must thank all three of you. I mean, as I said, Cora, it's been wonderful to have you in. I hope that you'll be a guest again on the show coming up now that we've got you here once. And Bev and Stuart, maybe after the event we can get a feedback from you. But thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for giving us the time.
No,
we
only
really
a pleasure. And with that, we've run out of time already. It's already 12 o'clock. Can you believe it? Just a quick reminder to get out there and get your latest issue of Canine Zone Magazine. It's in store now. It's, of course, the Beagle issue, and it's got some awesome stories in that you really don't want to miss. I'll be back again next Wednesday, and until then, give all your pets a huge hug and tummy tickle from me. Bye for now.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.